Tiny Decori, I know how busy you are. I want to thank you for spending your time with us today. Palamahalo.
Well, you're welcome.
And
Wopila.
And we're here in the Bear Cave, is that right?
Yes, the Bear Cave.
And this is in the basement of the Billy Mills Hall, where you run kind of a youth center here along with the Bear Program. Is that correct?
Well, the Bear Program is the youth program, and it's all volunteer-based. There's not a one that's paid. We've always had it that way because it's a program where the young people can give back to their community, and it's just a sense of belonging. It's ownership when they come down here. I mean, it's not the best, but it belongs to them, and they spend their time here.
For the youth, the young people, and the Bear Program has won accolades in many places for the work you do, the skits that are put on to deal with the issues that many kids are facing here, including suicide.
Yeah, including suicide. And here lately, we've had a lot of the suicides. But the Bears, they address issues. You know, hard. It's a hard life here on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And, you know, there's a song out there that says you don't stay young long on the Pine Ridge. Because once you reach that age, then you're on your own. And we're thankful that the Bear Program is in existence, because we have food that we can help our teenagers. Because a lot of times people forget the older kids, the teens, the tweens. They think that they're at that age now, so they can go out and find something to eat. And by finding something to eat, that means stealing. They'll go to Big Bats and are over here or one of the and they'll steal to find something to eat. And if you go into a lot of the homes, you know, it's typical and it's normal for them to make sure grandma and grandpa and it has the food. Then the little ones, you know, are the little ones, and make sure your elders and the older ones, they understand that. It's sad, but they do understand that grandma and grandpa are wisdom keepers. We got to take care of them. And then the little ones that can't get out there and fend for themselves. So then I guess I'll just go down to the Bear Cave and get a can of Vienna sausage and a couple of ramen noodles and some cheese and crackers, or cereal and milk.
You mentioned the elders and their grandma and grandpa, the role they play. And you may be in that group as well as someone who's recognized as an elder here. Many people understand that Pine Ridge is a culturally very rich place. This culture
Yes.
is so important. At the same time, there's economic poverty, and these mm-hmm. two are juxtaposed in many ways. Is that part of the what you deal with here?
Every day, you look at the economic structure here. The economics cannot support the population here on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And I'm not just talking about the village here. I'm talking about 54 communities and 9 districts. Within those 9 districts, we have 54 communities. Some of the communities are large and some are small. But we do not have our structure. We just can't support everybody. So the unemployment rate is high. And yes, we do value our elders. And I am getting in that I'm a great grandma. I have 5 great grandchildren, and I'm very proud. And it's because of them I'm able to do these things, because I look at them and I say I have to take better care of myself, you know, and I stay involved with the youth, because I want the youth to have that feeling of a better tomorrow. I want them to be able to look in the mirror and say, you know, I am the hope and I am the answer. But now I want the families to stand behind them as the families are looking in the mirror and saying, we are the answer. Because we put so much back on that child when we say, why are they killing themselves? You know, they believe there's no hope here. And it's true, but can you imagine how the child is feeling? But what about the dad that can't put food on the table? What about the mother who can't put food on the table? What about the single parent out there struggling from paycheck to paycheck, making $7.35 an hour, and they can't do it? So we have, in order for us to really save these kids, and we have to look at the family dynamics, and we have to take each family Ho-Choka, which is a circle, and we have to strengthen that circle. Look to where there's some, I don't want to say weaknesses, but look to the areas that need strengthened and work on those areas. Because we can work with kids all day long, but if I have to send them back to that same home that they left, It's not going to change. Because kids say that to me all the time. Tiny, you tell me this is the way it's supposed to be. You paint the most beautiful picture. And then I got to go home. I got to go home to 25 people living in my house. And that's where I come up and I said, you know what? We no longer have homes. We have houses. And that's a big difference. A big difference.
You're an all-volunteer organization here in this facility. Do you have the resources you need to do the critical work? We're sitting here, and there's teenagers coming in and out all the time. Your phone is ringing constantly. You are the center of a lot of these things. Do you have the resources you need to keep this going?
You know what? We must. I mean, we could always use more, but you know, there's power in prayer. In the Lakota way, our young people were taught to pray from a very small, when they were young, and to sit quietly while they prayed and they thanked the Creator for the food that was given to them. And so we do that. We do a lot of that. We burn our sage. We offer our tobacco. And just like I got 2 cases of socks in the mail a couple of days ago, and we just had a major snowstorm. So the kids were all in line. And they were hiking socks, but they were thick socks. So the resources we could always use more resources. We like even food, we run low on our food supplies. But it seems like we always manage to get a package. We're not rich, you said it, but we are rich in culture. Dollar-wise, you'll see used clothes down here. You see, as you walk through the bear cave, you'll see diapers, all different sizes, and wipes. Because we provide for the teenage mothers who are having a hard time. This morning I took diapers and wipes to a senior who's graduating. She already has 2 kids. She has a 3-week-old baby and a 3-year-old son. And so I hustled around and we got her the diapers that she needed for her baby and the wipes. And that's part of what we do. We try to provide for those teenagers that are struggling. It's a life skill. Some of the things that we do, they're life skills. They're coping skills. We just don't come in and keep giving, giving, giving. With everything that we do, they have to sit down with us and spend some time and learn about, okay, when Tiny's gone or this bear program closes, where can you go for help? What kinds of resources do we have in our community? I had a grandma who came down at Christmas time and she said, I need 7 coats because I was giving away brand new jackets. I found a friend in Baltimore, Washington area, and he sent us some money for jackets. So boy, we went to Walmart. I and all the bears, we jumped in our vans and we just went shopping and we bought $2,500 worth of jackets. And Walmart gave us a deal. They matched some of it, you know. And so we come back with tons of jackets and word got out. So grandma came down and she wanted food and she wanted jackets. And I told her, where are your children? And she said, they're home. And I said, well, I need your children. And she got a little upset with me. And I said, you know what? She says, I walked down here. And I said, well, we have a vehicle. We're gonna take you back and you bring your babies because we wanna meet your children, your grandkids. So she kinda got like, you don't trust me? And so I said to her, it's not that I don't trust you. I want you to trust me. And it's scary if you're not able to trust me. So she chuckled and they left and she brought them back. So we introduced, and I knew the kids and the kids knew me. There was one or two that maybe didn't. And I said, I need to meet your children in case something happens to you, Grandma. I need them to know that if they're hungry, they can come and find me. They can come to the cave and they can get food. They can bring their little plastic bag and fill their bag full of food. It's not that I never trusted you. It's not that I didn't think that you were going to take all the jackets and go sell them, but we want to size them and I want to see what size feet they have because I may have shoes to help them. I may have other types of clothing. So after I explained that to her, she was, you know, she was comfortable. She walked out of here with probably 4 cases of Vienna sausages, little cans of beefaroni and ravioli and milk and cereal and crackers. And she comes and sees us all the time. So that's the type. We want to give them coping skills. Coping skills isn't about suicide. But it helps them so they don't take that step to suicide. I know how to deal with it if my mom comes home drunk. Or if my mom doesn't come home for 2 days and I got two little brothers, what am I going to do? And there's no money on the food stamp card. And I have no resources. What am I going to do? I'm going to go find Tiny D and the bears. I'll go find one of the bears. I'll get on Facebook and message one of the bears. And I'll get something. So we do a lot of that with our young people.
Leading up to this interview, we were talking a little bit, and you'd mentioned a number of the suicides and deaths you've seen recently. And it's surprising how many have occurred in the last few years, even the last few months.
You know, we've had, I say 11, because one, it happened in Rapid, so we couldn't count it, but he was ours. And I say 11, but the record here is 10, with just one the other night, Thursday night.
And that's this year?
Since December.
Since December.
All by hanging. One by inhaling abuse. So, I mean, it's tough. And, you know, it's hard to tell these kids that you have to move on because they're grieving and they don't know how to grieve. So we're working with them. It's how do you teach someone to grieve? You can't, because we all grieve differently. But if we can get them to understand, there's a degree of shame, there's a degree of guilt, even before you can start grieving your loved ones. And sometimes with our people, we don't get through the guilt part. We dwell on that, and we keep them here, that we don't get to healthily grieve them healthy. So with our kids, you know, it's hard. We spend a lot of time reaching out. And now we're to the point where the bear kid says, we don't like the word suicide anymore. We hate it. And it's sad that some of them like, oh, another one. And I never want them to feel that way because life is so precious. In our culture, our language, Wakayaja, the children are sacred. And with that, we have to believe that. Not only believe that, we have to live that. We have to model that. And if we're afraid to come out of our comfort zone to show them what we mean through our love and helping our community, how are we ever going to get over the guilt part of wanting our community to be what it should be? So I have some young people out there, you know, that are survivors, suicide survivors. A lot of the bear kids are suicide survivors. Powerful, willing to tell their story.
How do you keep going? I'm curious. What fuels your batteries? How do you personally keep
going? When I look into the eyes of a child, that's where I get my energy. And yesterday, I went to a feather tying ceremony, the most beautiful morning that I've had in a long time. Because usually I'll get up and I have to check my Facebook messages, the ones that I miss in the middle of the night that I'm so tired, maybe by 4 or 5 in the morning, I crash and I don't answer. So I get up and I check them, and a lot of them, it's I had a hard time last night, or I'm at the hospital, they're sending me off. And because I do miss calls like that, because I can't get them all. And so then I hold my breath as I'm going through the messages. But this morning I didn't get a message like that. And the message I got that said grandma, because everybody calls me grandma too, but my granddaughter, she says, Graham, don't forget the feather tying. And I did. And I thought, yes, I got up and I just got ready and went out there, saw all these people and the kids were hugging me. And a lot of them were my clients that had attempted. A lot of them were cutters that are living life and up with life. I'm powering up for life. We're gonna power up for life. And then everybody's getting their feathers tied on, and the ladies are getting their plumes tied on, and the boys are getting their eagle feathers. And it's just an eighth grade thing. And one of the young gentlemen said, gosh, I hope they make it through high school. And I looked and I said, so do I. Because for some of these kids, that eighth grade graduation, it's going to be it for them. Because because they don't have the skills. They all, don't tell me, they all want to go to high school. They all want to be successful. But if they don't have that educational foundation, and right now some of them are raising themselves, how can we expect them to go to school every day if they don't have the shoes, they don't have the slacks, they don't have the clothes, they don't have a jacket, and they don't have food in their stomach? How do we expect them to get there when they're hungry? But that's, I get my energy and I get my strength from the eyes of a child, because I can look in them and tell them, you know what, you need me, but more importantly, I need them. I need them.
Thank you. You mentioned the feather tying ceremony, of course, we're seeing a large number of Lakota young people across South Dakota, a mm-hmm. whole generation of young people coming up. So many of them are succeeding. They're going to college, they're going out into the world, and so many of them are coming back. Mm-hmm. Do you see hope in the future, I guess, within that?
Yes,
context?
I do. Because we tell that to them. And I used to say, get your education, leave, and come back. And then the ones that did do that come back, and they'd say, what am I coming back to? It hasn't changed. The poverty is still here. There are no jobs. It's the structure. And when you try to, they tell you, oh, you're too young. You're too young. And all the jobs are held by people who with experience, on-the-job training. They're not educated. But a lot of them are educated. There are a lot of them that are educated. But they want to come back with hopes of building that better tomorrow. Not just for the kids, but for the community, for themselves. So I'm seeing the light at that end of the tunnel. I really am. They're coming back here and they're doing their clinicals. They're doing their labs. We have young people that are coming to the kids club that are going to be teachers, that are wanting to work with the young kids in lesson plans so they get their work. We have science teachers that come in for the kids club and they do nothing but our science projects, hands-on with the little kids. We just have an array of young people coming and giving back, and they love it here. And all of the young kids says, you know, I looked at the slideshow, and all the kids said, my future is to get off the reservation. Get off the reservation. And then there was more saying, to leave the reservation, but to come back with something. With something. And I look at these kids and I see all the hope. You know, I have my Tyrells, I have my Bubbas, my Shawns. You know, and my grandkids, my kids are successful. I put a lot of work. My son is the principal at Wolf Creek School, and he also runs the alternative program. I have another daughter who's administrator to the health, the ambulance service. I have a daughter who's works for Indian Health Service. She's kind of high up there, and she's going to be defending her dissertation for her doctorate, you know, soon. I have grandchildren that are academically sound, and they're getting offers for athletics, Division I basketball and Division I football. I have grandkids that are going to nursing school, and they're going to be teachers. I mean, I have so much success in my life. I think that's probably why I want to give that back to those that are really struggling, because there is hope with them. They just need a push, and they need somebody there to say, you know what? You got this, baby. You got this.
Tiny DeCroix, I really want to thank you for your time today. Thank you for sitting down with us.
Anytime.